I used to work at Best Buy through like producing and all this stuff. And I quit at age 20 and started speaking things into existence. And I'll tell you this, I haven't worked another 9-to-5 job since. It's been 15, almost 16 years now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes to a test of just staying consistent, even when I'm like failing, because dude, I failed so many times.
This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com. What's going on? Welcome to the New Music Business Podcast. I'm your host, Ari Herstand, author of How to Make It in the New Music Business, the book. Today, my guest is Anwar Sawyer. Now, this was a live podcast in front of Ari's Take Academy students, and they were able to ask questions at the end, and we have a couple of those questions that we have included in this podcast episode, and so stick around to the end. There are some really great questions there that I know you're not going to want to miss, which brings me to Ari's Take Academy. If you want to check out Ari's Take Academy, just head over to ariestakeacademy.com, and we are constantly adding new courses. You will be invited to sessions like this where you get to ask industry leaders your questions directly face-to-face. Anwar Sawyer, he started as a producer and songwriter. He currently still is a producer and songwriter. He's based in New York, and he is a classically trained pianist. He studied actually classical piano and composition at both Westminster Choir College and Nyack College School of Music. He is a signed songwriter and producer to Roc Nation Publishing. And he now has started a management company, SMG Entertainment, where his breakout artist is Audrey Nuna. And Audrey Nuna is currently signed with Sony Arista Records. And this episode, we talk about being a producer-songwriter and writing thousands of songs, and even just like how he got the publishing deal and what that means and how to go about that. But also, what it was like developing this young artist. He says that he discovered her, and he breaks down what that actually means and how he was actually, he calls it discovered as well. And it's a really interesting story. Audrey Nuna, she has millions and millions of streams. She has done collaborations with DJ Snake and also Jack Harlow. She is honestly, by the time you're listening to this, she might be taking over the world because she is a pop star on the rise. She is about to pop off and explode any minute now. So this is a great episode. I really enjoyed chatting with Anwar. And I think you're going to dig it as well. As always, please subscribe, like, follow this show. Wherever you're listening to this right now, please just pause this, give us a follow, give us a subscribe real quick. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could leave a review, that really helps. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Ari Herstand. You can find all of us and the show at Ari's Take on Instagram and Twitter. Of course, you can find Anwar Sawyer on the socials as well. And you can find Audrey Nuna on the socials, and it'd be great. You should definitely follow her journey as well. Don't forget to sign up for the email list, ariestake.com. Head over there, sign up for that email list. This is where you're going to get notified about all the new happenings in the new music business and everything that you need to know. That is at ariestake.com. All right, let's kick into the show. Anwar Sawyer, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for the intro. My goodness.
Totally. I know. It's like when you hear your intro read back, you're like, damn, I did all that? Shit, I'm impressive. Yeah. No. So are you in New York right now? Where are you coming to us from?
Yes, I'm in New York.
Cool. New York City, yes. Or are you actually in your hometown?
Yeah, I grew up right outside New York City, a place called Rockland County. It's like 30 minutes outside. Like everyone in New York City calls it upstate. It's really not, but you know.
Right. Yeah, I never really understood what upstate meant. I just always thought that anything outside of New York City was upstate, and including New Jersey. So I didn't really know what.
No, that's the term. That's what upstate is. It's just not New York City. It's upstate.
Got it. Okay, cool. And so have you been there your whole life in New York?
Whole life, born, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And how... How is New York right now? Is it kind of open back up? I know when it was warmer, people were kind of like eating outside and the restaurants were having the tables. It's getting a little chillier now. So what's happening?
You know what? I don't know because I don't go out much.
But, Safer, yeah.
But I should say, you know, it's opening up for sure. Okay. 100% opening up. It's there's definitely still little like spikes here and there. So, you know, you got to be careful, you know, so...
So you're staying home most of the time. Are most of your days consumed with kind of Zoom calls? And
oh my gosh.
What is your day? What is the day in the life during COVID for Anwar look like these days?
Unfortunately, so I have two kids.
Okay.
And
unfortunately, you have two. I will edit that out too. Right?
I should say. Unfortunately, I had to move out of my house.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I have two kids. Okay. And they've basically all of Sony Music knows they know my kids.
Oh, that's
like so sweet. they're just down to hop in every meeting possible, writing session, whatever. And it just came to a point. I was like, wow, I never thought I'd say this, but I have to get an office.
So yeah.
Now I'm here.
So you're in an office. Oh, congratulations. That's a big step. All right.
Yeah. I never thought.
So do you have a studio in your house?
I mean, I wish we could see it. Usually all the music's made. It's like in my living room.
Okay.
I hate recording studios, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't write any songs in a box. Like, it's usually dark, you know, and it's freezing.
Yeah.
There's just like no love. I don't know. I need like rugs and food thrown everywhere, and it just needs to look like a home, you know, like, I'm a homebody. So,
yeah. Okay. That's so, I'm always curious how like the vibe and the energy and the aesthetic that songwriters need. I remember Dan Wilson, who, he's a big songwriter. He co-wrote Someone Like You with Adele. He also wrote Closing Time. That's his voice on Closing Time with his band, Semisonic, back in the day. He said, he needs high ceilings and a grand piano for every writing session that he does.
Wow. That's insane.
I'm like, okay. I mean, if you wrote Someone Like You, I guess you can ask for that stuff in every session that you have, right?
Yeah.
But sure. So you like the homey vibe. Do you host most of the co-writes that you do in the sessions at your place?
Yeah, I love to.
Yeah.
I love to. And I think after a while, like, the writers get used to my room, and like my kids run into my sessions. They're even on recordings. Like, it's fine at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
But like, also like writing is more than just like making the music. Like writing a song with me is like my wife's home cooked meals, you know, like that's how I write.
That's a song lyric right there. Oh my gosh. I love that. Yeah.
You know, so like my wife cooks or tries to cook for everyone. You know, that's like really, like, food is like really important to me and in my writing, you know, like, just if I could break bread with you, I could write a song with you. You know, writing is so intimate. You know what I mean? I can't do the here 9 to 4 and then you sit
the
in
the natural
room.
Style of writing.
I can't
do
it.
Yeah. You don't do that. So what's your wife's specialties that she cooks for your co-writers?
You know what? I think like a go to. Dude, there is like a special, like her chili is definitely one. She's got
nice.
She got a mean chili, and she's vegan, so like she'll do like a vegan chili.
Nice.
And like people don't even like realize that she won't even tell people, you know,
that's vegan.
And, yeah.
Nice.
It's really good.
Cool.
Food. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious. You used a couple times in your bio discovered, and we're going to unpack that word because we have all independent musicians and managers that are tuning in right now. And we know better than anyone that when we're actually talking to people in the industry, discovered is a very loaded term, and there is really it's not like what our parents think discovered means, like you were on American Idol and I discovered or whatever. God. You know, it's like there's no discovery. So first off, I want to hear like how the Roc Nation pub deal kind of came about for you. And then I want to get into, you know, Audrey Nuna and tell the whole story of how you guys developed that collaboration as well.
Yeah, for sure. So so a little background. So I've been producing all my life. That's like my number one thing is producing.
Cool.
And throughout my 20s, you know, I did the whole like, here's my batch of music, emailing to A&Rs, going into offices. And after a while of finally getting there into the office of the A&R, you know, I'm playing them my heart and soul, you know, and yes. Majority of them are just like on their computer, like, yeah, that sounds good. I love that. You know, and then at the end of the meeting, it's like, I like that second one. Why don't you put that in my email? Like, and meanwhile, I already emailed it to him like a week ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just, after a while, it was just like, wait, can I curse? Like,
yes, yes, you can curse.
Fuck A&Rs. Right. Fuck labels. I was like, done, bro. I was done.
Yes.
And then in that moment, I started to just put my demos on SoundCloud without any marketing plan, without even like a thought of getting discovered. It was just like emotional release than anything. And a lot of my demos I did with a friend, his name is Andrew, and like, it sounded like if Drake were to be in an indie pop band. That's
way to put it. Cool.
So it had some cool little style to it. And, you know, I kid you not, man, we put a couple demos out and it actually got like a couple hundred plays and like some comments, which made no sense. We're like, wait a second, who are these people? How did they even find us on SoundCloud? And this is when SoundCloud was kind of cool. So
what year are we talking around this time?
I don't know. That's bad. Maybe
2011, 2012, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. That's about right.
Yeah.
And so what happened was, I guess a lot of blogs started to write about us. And also we didn't have any like promotional plan. We had like a cartoon character of our heads. That was it, you know? and like actually So Far Sounds, have you heard of them?
Yes,
yeah. They like randomly reached out. They're like, yo, like, come do some shows. We're like, hey, we're not a band, but thanks.
And is this the A plus A project that you have out?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, hey, wow. Man, I did my research.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that turned into, from So Far, we did a couple So Far shows, and that turned into us doing an EP and doing like a small little tour. And
oh, wow.
Was not expecting any of that, you know? Yeah. But, through that, a friend of a friend, which just happened to be in the car with Ty Ty, and Ty Ty basically runs Roc Nation.
Sure.
And yeah, he's the boss, he's the big guy, big guns. Mm-hmm. And she just happened to have our music like on low in the car. They're driving together. They're just friends, you know? And he was like, who is that? She was like, oh, that's my cousin's friend. He's like, no. I need them in my office. I need them. And so we just randomly get a call from Roc Nation like the next day from like a Roc Nation assistant. We're like, hey, this is a joke. You know, like we definitely thought it was a joke, honestly. Like our friends are just being jerks. But it ended up being actually real.
First, you're going to need to wire $200,000 from Nigeria. We have a Nigerian prince that would actually like your bank account numbers. And so they're going to deposit money there. And then you can have a meeting with Roc Nation, something like that, right?
Yeah, man. Like, basically. And then from there, like, we took the meeting. We're like, we had like five meetings and it just ended up turning into like a great relationship.
Wow.
And which led us into signing a publishing deal. So, you know,
so when you had the meetings with Roc Nation, numbers weren't really a thing. You said you had a couple hundred plays on SoundCloud. This was not like
placements, bro. Nothing.
No placements, like, no cuts.
I had like one song that was on the radio with this artist named Mano. But besides that, you know, that was not the selling point. The selling point for us, I guess for me, is that I don't just make one style of music. I just make music.
Cool.
So when we were in the office, I was able to play in like a country record, a folk demo, pop, jazz. I wrote a Broadway show.
No shit.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh man.
Hip hop to like whatever. And then we just
Tangent. Are you into show tunes? Are you into Broadway? Did you grow up like in that scene at all?
I'm not like well educated like I want to be,
okay.
But
okay.
I'd say since I studied classical piano, yep. I was able to like be like a vocal coach for singers. So I'd play lots of Broadway music, and then I've played a bunch of Broadway shows.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway, cool. To answer your question, we were able to kind of just show them like just a massive sync catalog, you know, of just
stuff everything. That could get synced or stuff that had already gotten synced.
No, could get synced and could get placed, for instance. Yeah. And
Why do you call it a sync catalog versus just the catalog of music that could
That's a good question. I think what it is like, it's like a demo where like, okay, it's not for us. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be for another artist, but maybe it just has like the right tempo and the right sounds for like a car commercial, things like that.
Okay. Got it.
We'll sometimes write that in the notes in the track too.
Cool. So this is interesting because so you go in with this very diverse catalog of music.
Yeah.
And Ty, Roc Nation, they were all about it. They're like, this is great. Now we have, you can do anything and we can put any of our artists or any collaborations with you.
Basically, it was really cool in the beginning. It was really exciting. Like there was like a song that we wrote for Demi Lovato and he just like randomly just FaceTimed her as we're playing the demo, you know, like like little things like that got us really excited.
Yeah.
And there was like one particular song that multiple artists cut that basically kind of secured the deal.
Oh, okay. Did they help that? Okay. So they were kind of trying you out. You hadn't quite signed the papers. Yeah. There was no advance yet. It was just like, hey, let's see if anybody bites. They bit and are like, all right, now we can make the deal happen.
And that happened pretty fast too. Like when we started talking to them, they're like, oh wow, this would be perfect for whoever.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. That was like a few years back and that song is still on hold, I should say.
Explain what on hold means.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, the artist cut it, you know, it was supposed to make their album, but you know, it got pushed away. And which is fine, happens all the time. But when we followed up, they're like, wait a second, no, like they might want it for the next project. Mm. Cool bet. So we did that. Got put on hold again. They're like, wait a second, it's gonna be for the next one. Cool bet. And so that's where we are right now.
Do you get paid a holding fee or anything?
We could. Sometimes people will do that. Yeah. For us, it's like at that point, we'll shop it around still and we'll let them know.
Okay.
You know, like, hey, look, I'm glad you like the record, but you know, we're still going to play it around for other people, which we have.
Okay. So if somebody else wanted to cut it tomorrow and release it,
you could.
Okay, great.
If there's no paperwork, bro. Yeah, it's fair game. That's how I see it.
Nice. Okay, cool. So what is it like? What is a life as a signed producer songwriter to a publishing company like Roc Nation? What is that like? How does that work?
Cool. I'll explain how I feel about it essentially.
Yeah. Sure.
So after I signed, they like hoard me out like session, you know, like met all these writers. It was great. But actually through all these writing sessions that I was in, I learned something about myself that I didn't want to write songs that way at all, you know? Mm. So I was like, hey, look, like it's great that we're writing like hundreds of songs for Rihanna. Great. Love her. Awesome. But like, yo, I kind of want to find my own Rihanna. You know, that's what I realized. I was like, yo, let me find my own Rihanna.
Cool.
And I'll come back and I'd be like, hey, look, here, you know, this is me. Yeah. You know, so it's just so hard. Like writing is so intimate for me that like if I don't have like the person in the room, I can't even like connect like that. So
would you do some sessions remotely?
Yes. But I hate it completely.
Sure.
Yeah. I probably have done like maybe like five.
Okay. Was this pre-COVID or is this during the shutdown?
During COVID.
Yeah. Okay.
And then pre-COVID, I have to like already have had dinner with you, known you a while. And then, yeah, I'll definitely do some remote stuff.
Gotcha.
For sure.
So, all right, you wanted to find your Rihanna. This is a great segue to bring us to Audrey Nuna. So how did you guys start working together? How did that come to be?
Yeah, so I guess in that moment, probably like weeks later when that like realization happened, I was just on Instagram. I was just scrolling on Instagram and I found Audrey playing, like doing cover song on her Casio keyboard, you know, nothing crazy. She had like 1,000 followers, maybe, you know, but there was something really striking about her voice that like, I was like, oh my God, I need to talk to you. So I reached out and I had her and her mom by my place and I DM'd her, by the way. And it was weird because I mean, older gentleman, you know, it was like kind of weird. She's like 17 at the time. So it was like, hey, like, you know, love to meet the family. Let's figure it out. Met the family. It was amazing. We wrote a song like day one and it ended up actually Audrey interned for me. She was my intern.
Cool.
Crazy. And from there, we like wrote probably about 300 songs in like a year.
Oh my god!
Something like that. It was hundreds, you know, just really awful ideas, honestly. But that led to us like finding like a few songs that we loved, to the point where I was like, okay, this is the artist. I finally found it. Mm-hmm. I want to figure it out, and I built a whole company around it. I brought in my best friend of like 20 years, Noah Kim. Shouts to you, bro, for listening. And he's like amazing business mind, A&R, and we kind of just put it all together, you know, started releasing singles. Like every penny, like selling our livers type of thing to like get whatever we needed to get, you know what I mean? It wasn't like it didn't come from like a lot of money or anything, you know. I think what we did was we budgeted really well.
Released singles independently initially? Yeah,
just independently.
Who did you distribute through when you were doing that?
We started off with, I think TuneCore was our first distributor.
Okay.
And then kind of just have hopped around a bunch and just learned about the benefits, disadvantages, and all that through that. But for the first batch of singles was TuneCore. Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, what worked was that, I mean, she's never had a song go viral per se. It's never been about that. It's always been about the brand, you know, and building like a world is what I like to talk about with, you know, all the artists I work with is, you know, what's inside your world? Like, how do people walk? How do they talk? What do they dress like? What kind of foods do they eat? You know, what are the colors of the buildings? You know, is there uptown? How do they act uptown? How do they act downtown? You know, and like that detailed. And from that like world, we're able to pull songs. Like, what does a song sound like midtown or downtown or uptown or the suburbs, you know? And that way we kind of developed a brand through the songs, you know? And Audrey, she kind of figured out like she loved the visual side too, you know. She's definitely like a creative director in a way, freaking genius. Through developing both the music and also her creative side, we're able to create like this cohesive brand that just always stayed consistent in a way. And I think from that, each single the brand just kept growing in some sort of way, where maybe it was just like a different font choice that we loved, or maybe we found, you know, a cohesive like color aesthetic or whatever it is. It just kept growing and the fans just like kept growing with us, you know?
So you released these few singles independently. I want to – let's talk the first single. So you put your first single out. This was, what, 2018? Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, 80, and that was 80 Deg?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so that's 2018. There's literally zero fans right now, right?
Zero, bro.
Okay. So what happens after that? In what did you do? Like, how do you promote an artist from scratch? After you've written, so you know you have a winner in this song, or at least this is one of the keepers that you dig right. of the 300 you wrote or whatever, and yeah. you release it. What next? What's the release strategy totally independently?
Great questions. I think trial and error for sure, because we need to understand who's going to even gravitate towards this type of music, because her music sure. was different. That's definitely number one. So I think like the first single was more like just a market test of like, honestly, our market was just friends and family, you know, but at least we start there to be like, hey, look, what do you think? You know, and from that, we were able to learn like, hey, I like when you did that. I like when you did this. Right. And I think, so that 80 Deg, there wasn't like a crazy marketing plan or PR or anything like that. It was more like, hey, I'm doing music. Second song, I can't think of what it was. Maybe it was Party.
Party.
Yeah. I think during that time period, I spent a lot of months understanding what the Spotify market was more than anything. I really studied the algorithm where independent playlists held a lot of value then.
Yep.
And basically were able to like move the needle a little bit through that.
No, so, let's get into the weeds here.
Go ahead.
What are you talking? Playlist push, submit hub, streaming promotions, literally making your own spreadsheet.
They weren't existent. Those weren't existent then. They were like about to pop off.
Okay.
But we basically did our own playlist push ourselves by reaching out to basically every curator you can think of in Audrey's that would fit in Audrey's world.
Cool.
You know, so like streetwear people or she loves foods, so like chefs or I don't know, whatever it was.
So you made your own list of user-generated playlists. You found the contact information, and then you hit them up directly like, hey, love your playlist. I think this song would fit on it or something.
Yeah, and it was like myself, Audrey. I had another intern. We'd like order a pizza, and we'd spend like literally 4 days together in a room and like 20 hours a day. You know what I mean? Just cold emailing, cold DMing.
Real quick, I want to let you know about Too Lost. Too Lost is a new distribution company to the space. And let me tell you, I am very impressed with them. I got a full deep dive demo with the founder. And yeah, they're very innovative. And when you come into the distribution space at this stage with how crowded it is, you better be innovative. And they are. Yes, they will get your music out to Spotify, Apple Music, all the places, plus 450 other outlets around the world. They do not take a commission. This is why 300,000 artists and labels have already used them. They've already distributed 7 million songs. They offer payment splitting, and they don't charge your collaborators for this service for the payment splitting. They will just pay your collaborators directly for free. They have publishing administration with BMG, so you know it's legit. A lot of distributors have fallen into trouble with using some other less than legit pub admin services. Well, Too Lost is partnered with BMG. You know it's legit. They offer instant royalty advances. This is something that's very cool. And if you have historical streaming data and you need just a bulk payment up front, they can see how much your music has earned in the past. I'm like, all right, we think we know what you're going to earn in the next 3 years. Here's a check for $100,000 or whatever it will be. And you can just click a button and get that distributed and into your account immediately. They do lyrics and credits distribution for free. They have a very innovative analytics platform where, yes, you will see real-time analytics for Spotify, Apple Music, but also Pandora, Deezer, SoundCloud, and Peloton. They're the only ones that do Peloton. They also have a service where you can search the internet wherever your music is being used, and it will just show you a chart of everywhere, every TikTok video, everywhere, every YouTube video, everywhere your music is possibly being used. I've never seen this before. That was very cool. They'll register you with SoundExchange, and they have a fraud prevention tool, and they're doing fraud prevention. So if you're worried about your music, you know, getting a bot attack or something like that and getting ripped down, which we've seen is a big issue, they have fraud prevention tools that are better than most other distributors that I have seen. Check out TooLost. You can just go to TooLost.com, use the promo code ARISTAKE for 3 months free and try them out. Let them know what you think.
And yeah. It was crazy.
How does that... how does Audrey take that and in terms of getting, because that's a lot of, I don't know if we want to, rejection is the correct word, mm-hmm. but if you're messaging all these people directly, you're putting yourself out there and right. like, you know, I've done the same thing. Right. And you're getting a response, you know, one response every 50 people you hit up and maybe yeah. an ad every 100 people or something like that. What is that, you know, what are those conversations like when you're working together yeah. in the room for 4 days with Audrey? And she's like, nobody's responding. They hate me.
You know what? It is it does mess with your psyche.
Yeah.
100%. I really do believe that. You have to have a certain type of stomach for it, for sure. But what we've learned is it was just a numbers game because she made such different like niche music, you know, that it was going to take like finding that like shy little kid in the basement, we got to find that person, you know, so we had to go through a couple layers. We really understood that, you know, the music wasn't for everyone. And she loved that. Actually, she wanted to find those small little pockets. And we did after a while, you know. Mm-hmm. It took a while though. I don't know how many emails, but thousands. Literally. Wow. Yeah.
It's so important. I'm so glad you told the story and revealed this is that even, you know, an artist that we look at now, I mean, I'm watching Audrey's music videos and the high budget. She's a major label artist. And but like to really break down the beginnings of the hustle yeah. and like yeah. how you did it play by play. It's like we sent thousands of emails to user-generated playlist curators. And like that was the grind that you were yeah. doing in 2018. And yeah. and it worked. And so now she gets added to some of these playlists. You start to see the streams grow. What happened next?
Yeah, great question. So I think, what really happened next was through that figuring out the kind of algorithm and the playlist system, mm-hmm. we actually started a side like marketing company to like help our other friends. And sure. also that like generated some income to like invest in Audrey more, you know, to invest in the
You
music
now
videos.
Have a database, you put in yeah. the work and you have a spreadsheet yeah. of all these user generated playlist curators with contact information, which is very exactly. valuable.
Exactly. 100%, you know, yeah. so we started actually like help other friends like kind of
amazing.
Break, you know, which was really fun. So that's just a little side thing, but that was a way for us to make income off mm-hmm. of it. And then I guess after a couple of singles, it just kept naturally growing. Like we started doing live shows and her first shows, dude, there was like maybe five people, maybe, sure. yeah, you know, right. but then like, I think by the third single, we had definitely a 20 pack for sure. We could bring 20, you know, and then the fourth single, it just kept growing. It just kept growing. And then I should just jump in like by the fifth single, we had a visual to like pretty much every single. I should know
full.
That.
What do you mean by visual?
Like a music video or a visualizer or something. Mm-hmm. So because we wanted to make sure that Audrey's a visual artist. So we are promoting, yeah, the music, but also that she's a creative director, you know, a creative mind. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep every single someone would know, oh, let me go check on the YouTube. Let me just see what's up, you know? And a lot of the videos are down, but like she used to like make all our music videos just on our phone. Honestly.
Cool. Wow.
You know, she did all the editing herself. And I think from there, by the fifth single, we finally had some like money to like invest like two, three grand, you know, on okay. a music video. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did that as a song called Soufflé. Mm-hmm. And that's when it all happened. We dropped it on a Friday because we thought that on a Friday at that point was like when you could get on music, New Music Friday.
Right.
You know, so we were on that wave for a little bit. And by Monday, I literally had every single record label call me. Every single one.
Did you get on New Music Friday?
No, we didn't. No. We got on Hilly Dilly. We got on a couple of just like really cool people type playlists.
Gotcha.
And just word spread. Hmm. And like from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I just every single one called us. It was wild, dude.
Wow.
I cried that day. It was a lot. It was a lot.
I bet. What were these pitches like for, or what were the messages? It's like, hey, I'm label suit from, you know, XYZ major label.
Yeah.
Let's get coffee or let me hear some more music or do you want to meet or what's going on? Or yeah.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Some were more aggressive than others. Some were like, hey, appreciate the music, keep me updated, you know? And then some were like, hey, let's get on a call right now. You know, some were just really lame, like just like, hey, dot, sounds good. Like, I don't even understand those type of, I don't know. I forgot what that was. That was 300. I forgot who it was.
They're just too cool for grammar or for niceties, introductions, anything. Right.
But, you know, it actually, it's crazy enough. We had a deal on the table that day.
People were not
waiting. Yeah, people were not waiting, so it was a lot. And
now break down the number, like where you were at numbers wise when these deals were. So when Soufflé was released, what were your Instagram followers? What were your monthly listeners? And what were kind of the streams happening?
That's a good question. You know, I think with Audrey, a lot of her success was not about the numbers or the streams.
Okay.
You know, it's always been about how cohesive her brand was.
Cool.
And her aesthetic. Mm. And the music just being dope. You know, and it's also always been about, I know you mentioned Discover, you know, like this, it was like Discover was like our marketing plan. It was like, hey, look, we're gonna be over here. Mm-hmm. If you fuck with it, cool. If you don't, cool. Like, that's it. We never took her to a label. We never dealt with suits. If people were messing with it, they come to a show, they buy a t-shirt.
Cool.
Bet. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. We were at like, you know, a few hundred thousand for sure on all the singles.
Sure.
It was definitely there.
Significant. Like, very significant. And you were getting the few hundred thousand just from those user-generated playlists that you were pitching directly.
That's correct.
Huge.
And then from that, Spotify started to give us some love too. We were able to land on a couple Spotify playlists then.
And this was pre-Arista?
Yes, all pre-Arista. Okay. And that was even pre, like, you're able to pitch to Spotify. You know?
Oh, yeah. Before Spotify for Artists enabled the editor in the back end, the pitch tool.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. We didn't have any of that. So a lot of that was just like, a lot of emails, a lot of just poking my noses in places type of thing. Like figuring out like who this curator is for New Music, whatever. And where do they get coffee? Like what's their Twitter? Like I dove in.
No, you didn't. Would you happen to just pop in a coffee shop and just be like list bumping and so like, hey, excuse me. Have you ever heard this artist?
Right. We never did, but like we would like take notes in our spreadsheets because like we'll see on Twitter like they posted either coffee shop or, you know,
Brilliant. Coffee,
whatever it is, you know, we really dove in and got to know the curators.
This reminds me, I'm a singer songwriter as well, This is when like Grey's Anatomy was really popping off, and that was the kind of music that I was making, you know, 10, 10, 12 years ago was that acoustic-y singer-songwriter stuff, like the stuff that you hear on Grey's Anatomy, like that the soundtrack. That's where I lived. Like, man, I want to get my music on Grey's Anatomy. And so I researched the music supervisors, and it was Chop Shop. And and so I'm like reading their blog, you know, Alexander Patsavis, but also Casey Truman. And I read a post by Casey Truman. She was like, you know, I wish I could get some Girl Scout cookies right now because, you know, I can't find Samoas. Samoas are my favorite Girl Scout. And in L.A., they don't have Girl Scout cookies anywhere. Meanwhile, I'm in Minneapolis, and I'm like, they're selling Girl Scout cookies door to door. So I got some Samoas. I popped my CD in the box, and I put wrote a handwritten note, and I sent it off to Casey because I'm like, hey, I saw you're looking for, you know, Girl Samoas. Here you go. And like she emailed me as soon as she got him. She's like, oh my gosh, Ari, this is crazy. Like, wow, thank you so much. Yeah, you read my stuff. That's great. I'm listening to music. And I got a hold. It, like, she was about to place one of my songs in Grey's Anatomy. It was the finale of one of the seasons. And she's like, I love this song. Is this song released yet? Have you actually put the CD out? And I'm like, it is released. She's like, oh, this is only unreleased song this episode. But I love your music. I'll keep you. And we still, you know, talk. That destroyed me, but but it was like you know, to paying attention. Now, you know, I don't necessarily recommend, you know, sending cookies to every person like that, but it was but it was on point because it was like on her blog she wrote, "I want some Girl Scout cookies," and poof, 3 days later, Girl Scout cookies arrived at her doorstep, and it was kind of just like a creative in. And I love that you're kind of making notes. All right, they tweeted about they like coffee. Let me add that. Maybe it'll come up in our conversation on an email or whatever.
great points. Like, you know, these are real people that we forget. Real like people. We're emailing. Exactly. You know, when you're emailing and submitting, you're submitting. I used to email it like just cookie cutter email. You know what I mean? And I just come to realize, like, this is just not the approach.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, there's other ways to do it, you know? And where if it's, I don't know, maybe more personal, like on a DM, you know, or whatever it is, you know? It was very specific to each person that we emailed.
That's such a good point because it's the approach really is just show some humanity. And if you actually approach them like they're a real person with interests outside of what you're discussing in the moment or outside of the music industry, and you can approach them like a person and in an authentic way, they will feel respected and appreciated. And that's kind of like, you know, it wasn't the fact that I sent Casey cookies that got her to send me an email and they, you know, consider my music. It was the fact that I read her blog and she felt appreciated. She felt that I put in the time to actually like care about her. So she's going to put in some time to at least listen to what I did. And it's like, that's why I always encourage people to start off every email with some kind of compliment authentically. Like I know who you are and I fuck with you and here's why. And it's like, it's real. Like, don't, you know, fake it. It's like, but you know, you're clearly sending them something. You clearly fuck with them. You clearly want something from them. Right. So, but don't start off saying like, hey, I need something from you. It's start off being like, hey, you're dope. And I love what you did here. And they'd be like, whoa, you even know about this? You know that I did this here? And it's like, yeah, it's like, okay, so that's an in. So that's cool. So you get, was the offer that you got that day from Arista or was it someone else and you just kind of kept?
It was someone else.
Okay.
It was someone else. But what happened was so many reached out, like actually someone flew us out the end of the week.
Shit.
a record label. I won't say
to LA.
Flew us out to LA. And this label was very impressive. Really like blew us out of the water. Like they were organized, you know. They knew about us, which felt really good, you know.
Cool.
But what came down to it was not money for Audrey or myself. It was like it was definitely more about the people. Because we're such like a tight-knit, small family, you know? And we never thought that we would ever sign. Like, we really didn't. Like, but it just, after a while, like, you have to make a business decision because if so many are reaching out right now, and it turned into like a little bit of a bidding situation, which was
cool.
Really cool. It was really interesting. And, Yeah, we ended up signing with Sony Arista. Shouts to David Massey, CEO. He's freaking incredible.
Yes.
Brilliant minds. And that staff, the A&R, her name was Dee Wevelings. She was incredible. They just impressed us with just the people. You know, it wasn't about like how the numbers, what they could do for us. It was just like, yo, let's go get some food and talk jokes all night. And like, those are the type of people we need to be able to like, I want to get on the phone with every day, you know?
Yes. Yes. So cool.
That's basically it.
That's great. And I mean, I'm curious about these meetings and how they went. Did you go with Massey, David Massey and Arista and Dee because they got it? They understood the project, or they were willing to work with you, or like what set them apart other than just their incredible personalities? Yeah. What set them apart? Because, you know, we all know that people change labels all the time. I was talking to Ali X, and she was telling me about how she got a deal offer from Sony UK, and she loved the guy, the CEO there, and really hit it off, and gave her an offer, and she was ready to sign, and he literally got fired a week later, and she's like, "Whoa, my cheerleader here is not here, so I'm not going to sign with them. I've dodged the bullet because then now I'm not going to have anybody who cares about me at this label." Yeah. So, what is it that gave you the confidence to sign with them versus any of these other camps that hit you up?
Good question. Love your questions. All right, so I think a couple things. It probably had to do with, besides the people, I'd say like the creative direction, you know, because Audrey is such a, you know, creative, and she needs that creative freedom. And I think letting the artist be the artist without like really getting their like, hey, you should look like this or try to sound like this. Mm-hmm. That's such a turnoff for us. You know, since we already kind of had this brand that we just did not want to change at all, you know, and I think that's what it was. I think that's the selling point, was that we never wanted to change the brand. And if some label was like, hey, you should do something different with your brand, we're like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like what got us there. And I, you know, just focus. We just focused on the brand more than anything else. As the decision factor, and we thought that they would be the best support for it.
I love that, because there are so many, I mean desperate is a that's not the best word for it, but there are a lot of artists out there who are seemingly open to any suit label coming in and saying, you need to be this. And I know who you are better than you know who you are. So listen to me, and I'm going to turn you into who I think will make me money. And then the artists are like, yes, big suit. Yes, you know best. And then they change everything about them. They completely lose themselves. And then they have a mental breakdown and they quit music. Because that shit happens all the time, unfortunately. All the time. Yeah. And like, it's, you know, I think it's a big testament to you as her mentor that you guys knew to create that world and have a very strong foundation of who this artist, Audrey Nuna, is before you took those meetings with the labels. You laid such a solid foundation that when labels started approaching you, you knew what to look for and what the red flags were. Anyone who was like, well, this is cool, but I think you need to do this, you're like, thank you for your time. Take care. Next, please. You know, and I love that you're approaching, you know, David Massey and Dee at Arista as kind of as collaborators, as teammates who you can bring on, collaborate with, and they're partners now in the growth of this artist together, because you're both on the same page and you get it. It's not like, here is a blank slate for you to throw money at and craft in any which way that you think is going to make you money. Right.
Cool. It's just not us. Just,
right. Yeah. I love that. That's great. Let's take some questions. We have some. Cool. We have a live audience here today, so let's bring in some questions. So, Lance, I'm gonna click allow to talk here. So, Lance, come on in and.
This is cool.
What's going on, Lance? Yes. How are you?
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. This has been like super insightful. One thing I wanted to ask was for like an artist or songwriter that, you know, wants to work with people like you at like the creative songwriting production at that level before even, you know, getting music out there to playlists and labels. Do you have any recommendations of kind of best ways to like get in touch, get that exposure and like connect with, you know, people like you?
Yeah, great question. I think for me, a lot of the people that I want to collaborate with, I discover on my own in a way. Like I'll just randomly find them on like Fresh Finds on Spotify, or I'll just dive deep though. I'm on like some random SoundCloud and I'll go like 10 pages deep. It sounds like this, sounds like that person, it sounds like that person. And then you might have 5 followers, but like I'm a SoundCloud head. So like I'll listen. I'm into it. You know what I mean? And I've found some really, really dope collaborators that way. So what I suggest is like, you should definitely have a platform to showcase your music, you know, your demos even, you know. I think SoundCloud is a great tool for that, you know, where it's like almost official. I mean, now they're actually doing distribution, but, you know, I think it's a cool way to do it and maybe even do some branding, you know, of some sorts as well. And make sure you have all your links there, you know, and it's easy to contact you. I think that's always been an issue too. Like I'll find someone dope on SoundCloud or on Instagram, but it's like tough to figure out how to get in contact with them. You know what I mean? So I think all of that comes into play. And then another way is too, like I just love jamming out with random people. So like, you know, I think locally I've connected really well, and being in New York is definitely a huge advantage. You know, of just like, I'll just meet someone at a show and like, they're crazy at the guitar. Like, yo, why don't you come over? Let's jam out, you know? And I think through that, just like real people to people connection is an amazing way to do it post COVID, I guess.
Yes. Cool. Thanks, Lance. And yeah, great. Yeah. Let's see. We have Terry. Thanks, here. Terry, how's it going?
Yeah, my name is Terry. I'm a hip-hop artist from Montreal, Canada. I go by the name of Tegans. I've been doing my thing for a while, you know, just trying to grow locally at the same time online as every other artist is. However, I'm at this space now where I'm really trying to hammer down what success means to me. Because all the time, you know, you had Ari, I follow your podcast a lot, and I really appreciate when you ask this question. You know, sometimes you ask, like, what does success mean to you? And everybody has a different answer. I've been asked that question a few times. However, I don't know what my answer is yet. So I'm trying to hammer it down and try to like really identify that way I can put it on my whiteboard. And then once that is there, it's like, okay, you know, that actually makes my life easier. What are the tools that you use to try to identify your point of success?
Great question. I think a couple things, with all the artists that I'm developing or managing, we definitely like, we have a whiteboard, like we vision board all the time. I think it's really important to speak things into existence, you know, like even for myself, cause like, I should say this, I'm a music producer, right? I had to say that in front of the mirror many times cause somehow I have to support a family through this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I used to work at Best Buy through like producing and all this stuff. And I quit at age 20 and started speaking things into existence.
Okay.
And I'll tell you this, I haven't worked another 9-to-5 job since. It's been 15, almost 16 years now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes to a test of just staying consistent. Even when I'm like failing, because dude, I failed so many times.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I do is fail. Maybe you only see the wins, but dude, I've failed so much this week. It's crazy. You know, it's crazy. I'm not going to tell you about all of them because that's awful. It's going to be depressing. You went through that, you know? Fuck that. So, like, I think more than anything is, yo, write out your vision board. Be detailed about it, you know? And maybe put in the small wins. You know, like we like to say, like, put in your small wins, your medium wins, and your big wins.
Okay.
You know? And I tell you, you'll start to see the small wins actually happen. And you'd be like, wait, I'm successful, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of an idea.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, I love that. It's the small wins also can be looked at as goals. And it's, you know, we talk about goals a lot, and it's making sure that you come up with these, what's the acronym is like SMART goals. And that's, you know, it's that they're specific, they're measurable, they're attainable, you know, they're realistic and they're time bound. And so when you might call it like a small goal, but it's kind of, or small win, it's like, all right, I want to see this happen, but I want to see this happen within 6 months. And I want to see it is realistic based on where I'm at. And I love that because at least you can check some things off and you can say, okay, you know, like I did this. I actually did it. And sure, I'm not getting a Grammy in 6 months, but you know, I might get my first check from TuneCore in 6 months. And that's like my first big win. Like, whoa, I got paid for music that I made. Like huge, you know? So that's cool. Amazing. Well, to wrap this up and to kind of to go off of to piggyback off of Terry's question, because I do ask all my guests this as the final question. What does it mean to you, Anwar, to make it in the new music business?
It's a really good question. So I already feel like I've made it. You know what I mean? Like I don't need a lot. You know what I mean? I think I've just been really, really content with every stage that I'm at, you know? So I'm like so happy now. Like I'm winning now. Like I'm talking to you. This is a freaking win, you know? Like what else do I need? Like, I just hate the mentality of like, we want more, we want more, we want more, we want more, we want more. And then we kind of like, we miss all the wins. Mm-hmm. We're missing a lot in our lives. Like, yo, you got out today, you ate, you wrote a song. Win, bro. You know, like I think, what do I want? Like success. I think more than anything, I want to build my company more. I look at like Scooter Braun, someone like that, and being like, man, like I want to be that guy one day, you know. That'd be really cool. You know, but besides that, like, dude, I'm just really chill right now.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome. That's
the best way I can put it.
I love it. I love it. Well, Anwar, thank you so much for being on the show. That was just beautiful wisdom and endless gems that you dropped this whole time. So really appreciate that. And have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys. All right. Take care. So it is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features. Annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com.